I just want to speak for just a few minutes, might be, this morning. And last time I spoke, I was surrounded by lots of rubber and plastic ducks. And we talked about how God doesn't want us to have our lives all lined up perfectly, all our ducks in a row, before we can come to him. He wants us as we are, that living sacrifice, as you are, so that God can then change you. So it's not about, well, when I get my finances in order, then I'll be generous. Or when I get healed, then I'll live for God. Or when all my relationships are all nicely sorted. You know, we give to God the imperfectness of us, and he makes something beautiful out of it. So a lot of you took those plastic ducks home, and one of you actually did actually shoot it. There is video evidence of the poor thing being blasted to death. So, you know, and hopefully that was a reminder of you of maybe something that just touched your heart and said, you know, that's something that actually does stand in the way of me and fully laying down my life before God. So you shot your duck, what now? Gets a bit more difficult now. Mark 8, verse 34 says this. Then he called the crowd, that's Jesus, to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the entire world and forfeit their soul? Whoever wants to be his disciple. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? What is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who learns something and wants to train to be better at something. So a disciple of Jesus is someone who wants to learn from Jesus so they can become more like him, ultimately a better person, the best kind of you that you could be. Learning and training. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Let's go back to shooting ducks. It's much more fun. But you know, Jesus wants you to gain life. And if you want to gain your soul, then this way of the cross is the way you do it. So I wonder who enjoyed school and college? Four people. Oh, even five. Definitely not the majority by a long stretch. You know, who, you know, enjoyed learning or enjoyed school? I enjoyed most aspects of school most of the time. And I did fairly well at most of the subjects. There wasn't really any subjects that I really struggled with except for one. There was one subject that I really did not get on with at all in any way, shape or form. And that was the subject of PE. I don't know what I was rubbish at it. I didn't enjoy it. It was embarrassing and I didn't even see the point. You know, what am I learning by running around a field? What am I learning by having a hockey stick clonked round my shins? You know, what was the point in PE? I didn't know at all. And then when I was about 10 or 11, I remember one time, I don't know what happened in the morning, but I thought, you know what? I am going to really try at PE today. And we were doing athletics out on the field. And I don't know why I thought that, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it everything today. And so I ran as fast as I could. I jumped as far or high as I could. I threw things as far as I could. I really, for that hour's lesson, I gave it everything I had. And at the end of the lesson, we were walking back across the field, back towards the changing rooms, and the teacher called me over. And I thought, she's noticed. She's going to pat me on the back and she's going to go, oh, well done. You know what she said? She said, I do wish you'd try in these lessons. I know. Thank you for that. I feel it now, all these years later. Needless to say, I never tried in a PE lesson ever again, and I did everything I could to avoid them. But you know, in the mid-1980s, a thing started in London called the London Marathon, and it used to fascinate me watching it on telly. I used to think, you know, wouldn't it be amazing to be so good at that, that you'd be fit enough to run literally for 26.2 miles. I can't imagine ever being able to do that. But I admired these people who did. It never, ever occurred to me that I would ever be that person. until I was. You know, sometimes when we say about people coming to Jesus, that he will meet your needs, often we invite people forward for prayer so that they can come and meet God and he can meet their needs. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, said, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, God's riches in glory are going to be infinite and immense. So God is more than able to supply our needs. But God being able to supply our personal need, the verses that we read in Mark aren't talking about that. Jesus isn't saying, "Come to me, be my disciple so that you can have your personal day-to-day needs met." Jesus is talking about something a lot more fundamental. He's talking about life itself. He's talking about your soul. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What good is it for God to meet every single one of your day-to-day needs and yet forfeit your soul? Your inner self, your eternal self, the bit of you that goes on forever. You know, we had Les's funeral in the week, and, you know, Les has gone to a better place. Les is in heaven now worshipping Jesus. Les, in one sense, has gone, but in another sense, is very much alive. That bit of Les lives on. So coming to God to have your needs met is only half the story. You know, I could have watched the London Marathon every year. I could have gone down to London and seen it firsthand. I could have bought a T-shirt with London Marathon on it. But there's only one way to get a finisher's medal, and that's to actually run. And in many ways, that's a good analogy of the way of the cross. So my journey to the start line and ultimately the finish line of the marathon began about 3 years before, when I had some serious ill health. The loss of health shocked me, because poor health is something that happens to other people, right? Not me. I was reasonably young and healthy. So it really, really shocked me that actually this body can go wrong. And fortunately, you know, the NHS were able to do their thing, and in my case, able to completely sort me out. And a few months later, I was back to full health. But something inside me now appreciated the good health and wanted to do whatever I could to maintain it. So I decided maybe getting fit was a good idea. So I started walking and then running just a very short distance, one lamppost to the next, and then a bit longer, and then a bit longer. And then about a year on from being ill, one of my friends said, "Should we do Race for Life?" I'm sure you've all heard of that. Some of you have done it. And I did a Race for Life in Cannon Hill Park. And it took about half an hour to do. It was great. Enjoyed it. Good experience. And then another friend said, "I'm going to do the Cardiff Half Marathon in October. Do you want to come?" I'm like, "Half marathon? You've got to be kidding. You know, that's a lot further." But, you know, twisted arm up back and all the rest of it. And we went, okay. And so we did. And then about a year after that, someone said, "Well, you've done half a marathon. I've got a charity place for a whole marathon." And I'm like, "No. Because that's like doing a half marathon and then getting to the end and turning around and running all the way back. And that's not happening, no." And then they asked again, and I'm like, "No." And then they asked a third time, and I thought, you know what? All those years ago, I thought, wouldn't it be amazing to be someone who is fit enough to be able to do it? And I realised I'm actually halfway to being that person. And so in a moment of madness, I agreed. They say, don't they, that the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, but the second best time is right now. And I think that's the same so much with discipleship. In many ways, laying our life down for God is something best done a while ago, but the best time, if you've missed that, is now. And as I began to be that person who is now training to get the medal, and I don't want to let the charity down, I have to start dying to self. If I want to be able to run 26.2 miles in April, I have to get out of bed early every Saturday through the winter when it's raining, when it's sunny, when it's icy, and run. And then a bit further and a bit further. I have to get up early in the week and run. There's lots of other things I'd rather be doing. There's lots of other places I'd rather be going and lots of other things I'd like to be eating. But if you want the medal, you can't just wing it. I remember seeing a TV celebrity interviewed at the start, and she said, well, I've only been out once because I got bored. She didn't get to the end. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. If you want the medal, if you want life, this is the way. You know, the cross, often we wear them around our necks, don't we? All nice, shiny, little silver or gold. But the actual cross was a place of suffering and a place of death. It was rough, it was rugged, and it was brutal. If we want to gain our life, if we want to gain our soul, it means taking up something that's got the air of death and suffering about it. Killing off our own desires where they don't line up with the goal of soul gaining. What does that actually mean in practice? To be able to run 26.2 miles, you need to practice running. You need to prioritise running as part of your routine. In one sense, it's not difficult. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. If you want to get better at it, you just do it. And to be able to become more like Jesus, you need to practice being more like Jesus. Finding out how Jesus lived so that we prioritise reading about him. Making that a daily practice, asking for his guidance, spending time with him. And that might be a cost. It might be a cost of less TV or less social media or choosing not to do something because you want to do something better. Do you remember those wristbands people had a few years ago which said WWJD on it? What would Jesus do? And it was a reminder as you went through your daily life, in every situation, wherever you were, what would Jesus do right now? You know, we have to be culturally different. If you want to run that far, you have to separate yourself from the crowd. You can't go out and party late on a Friday if you need to run early on a Saturday. You can't always do what everyone else is doing. Jesus didn't live the way everyone else lived, and if we want to be like him, we can't either. But here's the thing. If you want to run a long way, your body, your muscles and your bones, this is my very unmedical way of saying it, by the way, they need to be strong enough to actually do it. And what happens, every time you exercise, your muscles have these tiny, tiny microscopic tears that then, when you stop running or whatever you're doing, they repair themselves, and so the muscle is built. That's why when you see some of those weightlifters who like have muscles on their muscles, well, that's how they've done it, by very tiny amounts of tearing in the muscle that builds and builds and builds. And if you want to strengthen your, again, your bones, the more you pound on the pavement, the more you get extra cells, your bones get stronger. You know, I was not able to make a decision that I'm going to strengthen my muscles and my bones. I couldn't get up one morning and go, right, muscles, you've got to get bigger now because we've got big jobs to do. I can't do that. It's something the body does when it's in the right environment. All I can do is make sure my body is in that right environment. And in the same way, we're not able to change our own hearts. That's the bit that God does by his Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost. We're talking about his Holy Spirit, the Spirit that changes, the Spirit that empowers, the Spirit that comforts and counsels, the Spirit that guides and leads. It's the Holy Spirit at work in us that makes the changes. Because if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, it would just be a self-help program. And there's dozens of those about. You want to lead a better life, you can, you know, read about it, how you get up in the morning and you can do this, this, this and this, and your day will be wonderful if you've done all of these things and, you know, packed everything the night before. And you can go on self-help, you know, talking positively to yourself, all those things. And they're not bad things particularly, but they're us trying to change us. And actually, it's the Holy Spirit that brings about genuine, lasting change. So in the same way as I can't say to my muscles, right, come on, we've got a job to do. They just do that because I've put them in the environment. So we have to put ourselves in the environment of the Holy Spirit so that he can help us to change on the inside. The other thing The more I ran, I got fitter. You know, my legs toned up a bit, not massively, but you know. But you know what? I never ever got up in the morning, looked in the mirror and saw Mo Farah facing me, thankfully. Or even Paula Radcliffe, which would have been slightly better. That never happened. I didn't turn into somebody different. I just became a fitter. Thanks, Chris. I just became a fitter version of me. If you like, a better version of me. And this is the thing, when God comes and he wants to change you by the power of his Holy Spirit, he's not going to make you into somebody different. You might watch Joyce Meyer on the TV, or perhaps Reinhard Bonnke, or, you know, or Robin Baker, not on the TV. But, and you might sort of look and go, oh, you know, if I could be like Joyce Meyer, if I could be like whoever you watch and you look up to. God doesn't want you to be them, because he's already made one of them and he wants them to be a better version of them. He wants you to be the best version of you. So this isn't about changing you to be somebody different. It's about making you the best version. So what does it mean to carry your cross? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Have you ever heard anyone say, well, we all have our crosses to bear? Usually they've been saying some kind of issue or problem that, you know, maybe they feel, you know, it's a permanent thing, and it's like, oh, well, we all have our crosses to bear. You know, taking up your cross and following Jesus isn't about Jesus giving you some big problem and saying, there you go, you just need to carry that around. It's not how it is. That link isn't right. It's not correct. You see, the cross was this place of death. And carrying our cross just means living, when I say just, I don't mean just really, it means living every day in that place of surrender and dying to self. It's not saying, well, I've got this health issue and I've got to carry it around with me because it's my cross to bear. That's not what it means. It's this permanent place of surrender and death to self. That doesn't sound like a whole load of fun, does it? This discipleship thing, it sounds difficult. It sounds tough. And you know, training for a marathon was difficult and tough. I remember one particular day running out towards Kidderminster, slightly uphill. The wind is blowing icily cold so fast in the opposite direction, because that's the thing, it always blows the opposite way. That's the rule, whichever way you're running, the wind always blows the opposite. And I remember thinking, am I actually moving anywhere? Because it really doesn't feel like I'm actually going forward at this point. And it's difficult and it's tough. And the way of discipleship sometimes can be really, really tough. But you know what Jesus said? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses it will save it. The reward of death to self is life. Sounds like a bit of an oxymoron almost. You know, when Jesus died to himself, he allowed himself to be taken and nailed to a cross. And he even prayed before he went to the cross and said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. But we know, don't we, that that wasn't the end of the story. Because what followed death? Resurrection. And yes, Jesus died and he went that way and that path, but actually his reward was life and resurrection. And that's good, you know, because Romans 8, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says this, if the spirit of him, this is the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of his spirit lives in you. So the reward of our carrying this cross, the reward of our death to self is the Holy Spirit dwelling inside who gives life. And this isn't life that will end at some point. This is eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you leave this earth. Les didn't start eternal life back in May when he passed away. Les was already living eternal life. He just carried on. And it's the same with us. You know, if we want eternal life, it starts whenever we give ourselves over to God. And Paul also says this in Romans 8. He says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. So Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of God praying for you. How amazing is that? That's a little bit amazing, isn't it? Jesus is praying for you. His Holy Spirit is dwelling in you to give you life. There's death to self. Yes, it's tough, but he gives you life. You know, running the marathon, the training was tough. The day was fantastic, I have to say. That might be hard to believe. Yes, it hurt. It hurt a lot. But it was the most amazing day. It was so amazing I did it again 4 years later because I enjoyed it so much. You know, that might sound weird, but it's true. Sometimes when we put ourselves through the dying to self and the pain of that, the rewards are amazing. And to get over the finish line, you know, by the Queen's, run past the Queen's house and, you know, you get to the end and they come and they give you a medal and say, well done. And I'm like, oh, proud of that. Yeah, but that's what we're aiming for. You know, we're aiming for Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Christ raises us to new life. This life means being like Jesus. This life means becoming the very best version of you that you will ever be. This life means fresh start and a new life. I want to just read the verses that we've talked about from the Message, because the Message version often puts things in a very, very modern, up-to-date way of saying things. And this is what Jesus said, calling the crowd to join his disciples. He said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way. To saving yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? What could you ever trade your soul for? I'm just going to read those verses one more time. Calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driving seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to saving yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose the real you? What could you ever trade your soul for? And we're going to finish. I'm just going to pray, but I just want you to almost leave that thought in your mind. What could I ever trade my soul for? And I believe personally, and I know lots of us here do, that there's nothing, is there? Nothing that we would trade our soul for. It is the most important thing. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that today we celebrate the coming of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you that as your Holy Spirit comes daily, not just one day that we celebrate it, but daily, that you change us from the inside. And Father, today, as we think about that, what would we trade our soul for? What could we trade our soul for? I pray that for every person here, the answer would be, I can't trade. I can't trade. My soul is the most important thing. And I give myself to you, God. God, I pray that you'll help us to carry that cross, that denying of self, as we move out into our world to serve you. And I pray that we will find life and you will give us life as you make us the best version of ourselves that we could possibly be. Thank you, God, that you are so interested, you're so invested in us. You pray for us and you raise us to life. God, we're so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.